Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I know where it's at, and so do you by the looks of it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm Marcus, as if you didn't know, and I've got Pete with me.
God, I miss the All Saints.
Luke is here.
Same, all
you
right.
You go to their shop. And Jim.
Hello.
Oh, hello indeed, Jim. Hello indeed. Right, hang on. Jose Mourinho is having a little moan that Eden Hazard has not won any awards yet this season.
Still early.
Still early, Jose. He's probably on for the big one.
Any?
Do you reckon he is on for the big one?
He could. Well, he's up there, isn't he?
I'd certainly say so, yeah.
Well, if you could create an award that a professional footballer could win, what would it be, Jim?
Well, my award would go to the person with the worst disciplinary record over the season, and they'd win a bear. Because, you know, if you've suddenly got to look after a bear, you've got to do some growing up, haven't you, very quickly.
I like that.
Learn
yeah.
some responsibility.
Makes sense.
So is it a cub or a fully...
No, it's a bear.
I mean, you'd get time off when they hibernate, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have to help them pack
it
the ears with twigs and mud.
It works because all footballers at that level have got massive houses. No excuses.
No, I'm not sure
Absolutely,
it does work.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm. I'm not sure it does work because presumably these players are quite dirty players if they are getting red cards left, right and central.
Yeah.
So to tackle the bear, well, no pun intended there, the bears can be a bit aggressive. So I think they might go in a bit hard on the bear.
You think they'll go in hard on the bear? You don't think they'll realise that the bear's bigger than them?
Well, put it this way.
Guys,
if you're...
I think they'll go in hard on the bear once.
Yeah, and that's all a bear needs.
Yeah, they won't do it again.
One good dig.
I've seen Grizzly Man.
Yeah. All I'm saying is you've got a very aggressive man who's got a poor disciplinary record. You're then throwing him in a room or a house with a bear.
It's tough love.
Let's
at least agree on that.
Using my own words
fairly
against me.
Fairly certain it's against a lot of contractual obligations that the club have. You know, safety and stuff like that. Don't give bears to players, stuff like that.
I mean,
that's against, you know, Freddie Ljungberg couldn't be a fighter pilot or whatever. Didn't he want to be in Top Gun or something?
Yeah, they can't.
Is that
go,
right?
They
Mark Schwarzer couldn't go to, he couldn't fly to the moon.
Yeah, right. They can't go skiing either or anything like that, I don't think. They have to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
A bear might contravene it. Mm. I think a bear.
You might have to look into it a bit, but you know, it's early days for my proposal.
You could send a bear skiing.
You could. There's a few hurdles to leap in there.
I still like it. I still like it.
But yeah, it's an odd but good start. Luke, what have you got for us?
I thought of the Kevin Keegan Award for mind games.
Nice.
So basically, what we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, it's very difficult now for the press, the mainstream press, to actually work out what's a mind game and what isn't.
Mm.
They seem to think any time a football manager says something that isn't completely in the ordinary,
yes,
it's a mind game, in quotes. So what we would need to do is actually get a panel together, get Sir Alex Ferguson on it, because he's not doing much anymore, and he's good at it. A few other managers, a few players, different bits and pieces, a couple of psychologists, actually dictate the parameters for a mind game, right? Then get a board together, like the dubious goals panel. Yeah, the dubious mind games panel.
You know who should also be involved? Richard O'Brien and Ed Tudor Paul, who ran the Crystal Mesa. Obviously.
All over that.
Well, I can't get enough of Richard O'Brien, so I'm in total agreement.
And then at the end of the season, you would judge it on things like how effective the mind game was, what the result was, who won what because of the mind game, and then you would dish out the Kevin Keegan Award, and he would get to present it every season.
That is a great show.
And he said, "I love it that you've won this award."
Yeah, well, and just following on from something that Pete said, and at the start of each press conference when it's building, would O'Brien say, "Will you start the mind games, please?"
Yes, yes.
I like to think that Keegan would have to do a lap on a bike. Before
he delivers it.
Delivers it on the racer. Yeah,
comes up on the stage.
On a 70s racer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, a lot of pressure for Keegan.
But now,
because that's... the thing with that is, and people would know it was an award and they would have a mind to actually try and win it, and it would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because it's just boring at the moment.
A very well thought out answer there.
Because do you not think that, like, what Jose Mourinho said, I think he even said it this week, we're not contenders for the title. It's just so obvious and transparent. And like, well, you are. So don't be ridiculous. You know, you've got to think of something a bit more interesting.
Everyone who starts in the league are contenders for the title, in that they try and win as many games as they can.
Absolutely. And I think Mourinho should try harder. Like, and if this award was in place, he would. So he would probably do something ahead of a Chelsea-Arsenal game if Arsenal were second. Oh, I see Arsene bought the value version of his orange juice this week. Wonder why that is, the press, and have a wink. Oh my God, he's checking buying my shopping.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Get under the skin a bit more.
Going through my bins.
That's what I'm talking about.
Going through my bins.
Yeah. He'll do whatever
he's going through my bins. Do they even train? Do they need to? Are they this good? Oh, God, we're going to lose. Yeah, I see how that works.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a vicious spiral of despair.
Arsene's still wearing that jacket and it's 15 degrees outside. Yeah. Ooh, what does that tell you?
Arsene Wenger used to employ Thierry Henry. And what are his initials? TH, Tottenham Hotspur. Oh.
Yeah, I like that one. Pete.
Whoa.
Pete, you'd win it.
We're through the looking glass.
Yeah.
Damn right.
There you go.
Damn right.
The Kevin Keegan Award for mind games.
It's a tough one to follow, but Pete Donaldson, if there's anyone who can, you are that man.
I think we all know that is incorrect, Marcus. I would hand out at the end of the season the TMMLTEHDTWOAP, the Tamelda-WAP.
Well,
I think it's already been done.
I'd hand out the man most likely to electrocute himself during the wiring of a plug.
I thought it was a new Europa League.
For particularly stupid footballers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just men who just can't deal with life.
Yeah.
Just, you know, any footballers, they drop perfume on their feet.
A fiercely contested award.
Yeah.
That's
just particularly idiotic footballers. They'd get that every season. So, yeah.
I like the sound of
that. I think all of these awards should really be
inaugurated
this year.
Not that we're on the...
Stephen Ireland
would be good.
Come on, Jason McAteer.
Maybe Stephen Ireland's nan.
McAteer was known as being... Well, Stephen Ireland's still playing, so it's difficult. But Jason McAteer is well known as being the thickest man ever.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? I didn't know he had that reputation.
Did Ian Walker try to iron his...
Child.
His shirt?
You've got all wrinkly. I've just been in the bath, Dad. Leave me be.
Did he not try to iron his shirt while he was wearing
Apparently
it?
Apparently so, yeah.
I've
heard McAteer say some all sorts of stuff. Like he famously apparently asked for only 4 slices in his pizza rather than 8 because he wasn't as hungry to have 8. It's like stupid shit like that.
Yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah. Good.
That is a decent award, to be fair.
Yeah.
I would. Mine is a little bit more likely. The Dink Award. This is the best Dink of the season. Mm. Which like I that. Think it should be
the Dink, the Fair Dinkum.
Who would you name it after, though, Marcus? Carlos Vela.
It could be the Carlos Vela because he does have a dink, doesn't he? I'd probably name it after myself, but you know.
Okay.
But I think that Luke Moore's got the point.
Thanks, guys.
All excellent answers. I think everyone listening to this broadcast will agree. But Luke, that was particularly good. Now then, well, that's sorted. Let's go to the Premier League. Liverpool 5, Arsenal 1. Gordon Bennetting aunt.
When Liverpool came to the Emirates earlier in the season,
yeah.
We were the probably the only team in the Premier League that, you know, really effectively shackled Suarez and, well, stopped him from scoring. And, you know, we did that again. So, proud of them.
Arsenal, going to that
job
game,
done.
Going into that game, Arsenal were the only team in the Premier League to stop both Sturridge and Suarez scoring in a game.
Yeah.
They're not anymore.
No. It was unbelievable.
Liverpool
was
sensational.
They were. They were
Skirtle was sensational.
Electric.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
If he did that at the back.
Yeah. Your clearances were as good as your threats. your threaty headers.
Jack Wilshere aside, you know, no one really emerges with any credit. And Wilshere, just because, you know, he got stuck in out of pure frustration as much as anything else.
Well, Ozil's come in for a lot of criticism.
Yeah, he's...
Are you worried about Ozil a little bit?
Well... A little bit. I mean, he's a good player who's in some quite indifferent form. Like, you know, there's absolutely more to come from Ozil. Yeah, it's, I mean, it is his first season in England. He's adjusting to it. I mean, his stats aren't that terrible. It's just of late he's kind of dropped off a little bit. I mean, he's always had sort of stamina issues. It's very rare that he ever completed 90 minutes for Real Madrid. So maybe that's part of the issue. Maybe the lack of winter break is you know, he's
and it's quite
a ferocious
league
at the moment,
as we know.
Yeah, but it is worrying because he's not the outlet that he's supposed to be. And, you know, the injuries are starting to tell as well with players out. But the worst thing was the defence yesterday. It just makes no sense. It almost looks like they're a different group of people in Arsenal defender suits, just pretending to be them.
Because
it's
Arsenal
all
been,
over the place.
Arsenal have been very strong at the back this season, of course, and to be torn to shreds.
I just think they've really sort of bought their own lack of hype. Because, like, people are just going, they've got to fall away.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's pinning their hopes on Arsenal, like, winning the title. But it's just kind of, I think Arsenal have read that and thought, what? Yeah, we're probably going to mess it up, aren't we? And then they're just messing it up a bit.
Do you know what Wenger said, the pre-match team talk? Boys, you know that hiding that we're due? It could be today,
could be
by
I can't. I can't remember a side who are so relentless at starting football matches in the Premier League than Liverpool.
I mean,
they... I don't know what they do in their
warm-up.
What a
front three.
It's like they play a full game as a warm-up, and they just transfer straight into the actual game. Because I read a stat of going into this weekend's games, which said if games was finished at half-time in the Premier League, Liverpool would be top by some distance. But if you just took the second half, they'd be about ninth. So there was a discrepancy between the first and second half performances.
Yes.
And so... I didn't actually see the game live. I watched it back later, but I was out and about and I saw that they scored early a couple of times, first 10 minutes. I thought, okay, right, well, you're still plenty of time for Arsenal pegging back, knowing this stat about the second half. Mm-hmm. And then it just carried on.
Yeah.
Like, carried on. And
it could have been more.
So many more.
I think if you watch Premier League years on Sky, where you go back to, even if you just go back to 10 years ago, not anywhere near the start of the Premier League, maybe 10 years ago, it looks slower. And so by that token, there's never been a team play with that intensity. I've never seen a team play with that intensity, and Arsenal were top of the league as well. It's not as though they're playing against Fulham at home, which we'll come on to later.
Yep.
Right, Liverpool playing against top of the league.
Well, this
and
is
they
it.
Blew them to pieces. Well, absolutely blew them to pieces.
I mean, going on what Pete said, people are forgetting that Arsenal, well, they're not now, but they were top of the league. I mean, if Liverpool would have beaten Manchester City or Chelsea 5-1, that would have been outrageous.
Yeah.
And people,
oh, it's outrageous.
But it's Arsenal. They have had a fabulous season and still have. I mean, one result doesn't suddenly say Arsenal are rubbish. They're only 1 point off the top.
They just have to. They've got to beat United on Wednesday. They just have to.
They do. But, I mean, Liverpool, that's... The pace they play at and the how ferocious they are. They've got a lot of energy in that side is what I'm trying to say. I mean, Suarez, as I think you mentioned before, Luke, he just runs and runs and runs and is a constant harasser of the defenders. Sturridge has got a lot of stamina. Sterling, I mean, obviously he's a young lad, but he could run all day.
Coutinho is an absolute steal.
Coutinho and Henderson, and that's why obviously he's putting Gerrard further back, because his stamina's not what it was, but he's still a guy who's got a lot to offer.
I think Brendan Rodgers just deserves immense credit. I mean, they haven't won anything yet, and of course getting into the top four will be an achievement from this season. Rodgers has said in the past that, you know, he was looking at much more of a longer term plan for them, so he'll be obviously delighted. But the way he's managed those players, I mean, he took Coutinho away from Inter, who everyone knew was really talented, but maybe never really reached the heights he could have done, and he's got him playing very well.
And he gives him a little bit more of a role in the centre sometimes, whereas at Inter he was very much a winger,
I think that's probably fair from what I saw. But the Sterling thing as well, you saw Sterling obviously, again, have the talent, but maybe not have the application or the focus or the drive. And Rodgers has clearly just managed him so well individually.
Well, another one put through the middle.
He could be a really good player for England.
Well, absolutely.
With this, I know it's very young. He's very young, and it's early for him. But the way that he is playing and around those players like Sturridge, Suarez, Gerrard, and he's almost got every type of player around him that he can learn from. And for him to not be part of the England conversation would be ridiculous.
Well, then he gets the England team and then doesn't play with any of those kind of quality players.
Right, exactly.
Because where's all the quality going?
But could Sterling? I mean, Sterling could start for England.
Yeah, I think so.
At the moment. I mean, the friendly next month, I think it's next month, will be interesting to see what he does, especially in the absence of Walcott.
Yeah, well, you'd have to have him in there. I think
there's question marks over Townsend. There's question, you know, obviously Oxlade-Chamberlain. He might not even play that role, but he's been injured. He's only just come back. Well, Sterling is the man in form.
Townsend's also been injured as well.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is, you say that, Pete. But I mean, Sterling will possibly be playing with Sturridge and Gerrard in the England team. So he'll have a bit of that.
And Henderson maybe.
Everyone's raving about Aguero this season. Sturridge has got the same amount of Premier League goals as Aguero.
Well, I was going to say out injured, but so is Sturridge.
They've both got 15 Premier League goals, and they've both had time out for injury.
And I guess he's playing with Suarez as well, who has been scoring freely. So I guess it's kind of like, well, you know, he's been able to take a few goals off him.
He's got so many goals in Liverpool. Yeah, they're
Liverpool,
really good.
They just look great to watch at the moment.
Do you remember last season there was some insane stat about how often they'd hit the woodwork?
And
it's just like they're just putting them in now.
Slightly adjusted their radar.
Exactly, yeah, just a minute tweak. And
that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Their pre-season was going into a little office, having their radars touched like a screwdriver in their brain, and then off again.
Do you know what I think it was? They played too many magical free kicks, Roberto Baggio's game, where it tallies up goals and post-hit.
You get a post for post-hit.
Strangely enough. And Rodgers has come in and gone, right, enough of this, that doesn't count for anything.
Yeah,
goals only, please.
I reckon he came in and just brought a couple of opticians in. And just like, first or second? First, it's second. Second in the goal. Second.
It's been interesting to see Rodgers' development as like a top manager as well, hasn't it? I mean, obviously he hasn't won anything yet, and he needs to win things to be genuinely considered a real contender.
He's winning hearts and minds,
but he is winning hearts and minds, and he has adjusted himself by, you know, what he says and how his teams play to fit Liverpool.
Mm.
He's such a good... the great thing I love about Liverpool as well is that they've got a real identity about them.
Yes.
And the identity's already there because of the club there and how big they've been in the past and all this other stuff. But, Roger, you know what... You always get to the point now where you know what a Brendan Rodgers team is, and that's really important for a top manager. And, you know, if you think of someone like, I don't want to have a go at Spurs, you know, for no reason, but Spurs don't really have an identity at the moment, which is a shame because they could have, but obviously they've decided to move on via Spurs and they're sort of a bit sixes and sevens and a bit of a stopgap now. But the great thing for Liverpool fans is there's something they can really get behind. There's an idea, something tangible they can all support together, and they know where they're going. And that really helps when you have a couple of bad results because you think, well, you know, we've still got a project here, in quotes, you know, we can all get behind it.
And I think it also it shows how much a few really, really decent performances and some excellent results can save a manager from being a bit of a parody, a bit of a caricature. Because back end of last season, well, middle of last season, Brendan Rodgers was a bit of a laughing stock. He was a bit of a Brent character, and they played so well. And we didn't help.
Yeah, we've adjusted our opinion now.
But it just shows how
we've had our opinion radar adjusted slightly.
Excellent footballers can help a manager's perception when it comes to idiots like us.
It's the biggest ramble manager vault fast since we used to quite like Phil Brown about 6 years ago.
just you wait till Kevin King comes back. Yeah. In football,
I'm still waiting. I am waiting.
Okay. I think that it's really exciting times down at Anfield. Their hardest fixtures left.
It's exciting times in the whole of Liverpool, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely, with Everton too, but particularly Anfield. Arguably the hardest fixtures left are away at Manchester United, although, my goodness, you'd fancy them for that one.
Yeah.
And then home games against...
That could happen, couldn't it? They could absolutely blitz them, imagine that. Yeah. And then go on to win the league, just making David Moyes' life as bad as it could possibly be.
As soon as Fergie, you know, he's knocked Liverpool off their perch.
Back on the perch, straight
back
away.
Left the back door.
That would be hilarious. That would be superb, wouldn't it? And home games... it could be quite crucial against Chelsea and Manchester City, and they don't have European football, so it's such a shame.
It does help, and look at Swansea, it does help.
You look at the games Liverpool played Manchester City and Chelsea back to back earlier in the season, around it was before Christmas, and they lost both games. They're very unlucky.
It was such a shame, the dropping of the points at West Brom. Because there'd only be four off. I mean, I'm sure many a Liverpool fan have...
Stranger things have happened. Man City dropped points the weekend. You know, it does happen.
You know, that ground is eminently make-upable.
Absolutely. 6 points is nothing at this stage of the season.
Yeah. Oh, well. We're moving on, though, to the team who are top of the league. Chelsea 3, Newcastle United 0. Hazard with a hat-trick. And they're up there. Chelsea, they... Oh, they're crafty, aren't they?
They're not contenders, though, are they?
No, certainly not. They're still in the Champions League. They've got Galatasaray. I mean, Chelsea...
Their second goal was sickening.
Beautiful,
wasn't it? Imagine what Dennis Bergkamp doing circles around you three times. Oh, flip. Yeah. Piss off.
Yeah. Piss off, you're much better player than me. But Chelsea, they're threatening to do a Usain Bolt here, where they start, and a few people are in front of them, and they just get going, and then when they get into that stride and the head comes up, woof, they're away.
Yeah, they're just machine-like.
Yeah. Talk about exciting times at Anfield, exciting times at the Bridge.
Can I read my tweet of the week from a Newcastle fan after the Chelsea-Newcastle game?
Is it from Pete Donaldson?
I don't know the guy, so I'm not going to name him just in case he's horrendous. But this just really made me laugh. A pathetic performance from a pathetic set of players under a pathetic manager who's employed by a fat, pathetic fucking mess. Hashtag NUFC. Just in case it wasn't clear.
Important. Important to get your social medias in order.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Pete, would you agree? No comment there from Mr. Donaldson. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea looking fantastic.
Hazard was irresistible, wasn't he? Yeah, he was such a good player. You know,
Hazard, I mean,
to watch.
Could he be? I mean, surely he's a contender for player of the season.
You'd have to. It's interesting. How Mourinho's clearly managed him well when he left him out of the team a little while ago, and the media tried to sort of make a big deal out of it. Obviously, he's just had some words behind closed doors, and made it clear that he expects better of him. And here it is; he's produced
such a canny operator.
It really is, isn't it? It's incredible.
It's funny the way they play Chelsea, where people are talking about they haven't got a sort of centre forward or anything like that who can score goals. I mean, Eto's obviously weighed in with a few, but. Chelsea, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but more often than not, especially against, in fact, even against City, they attack with four forwards. Mm-hmm. They play for four forwards when they're going forwards with the ball.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, Hazard's got 13 goals this season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've got three out of the four players who are scoring, but it doesn't really matter who isn't, because 75% scoring... Pretty regularly.
That's right,
it doesn't matter, and that's why they're top of the league.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen with Torres that he does bring in others a lot. I mean, he's not scoring like he used to, but he certainly, I would have thought off the top of my head, his assists now are better than ever. Although he's not playing because I think he's injured or certainly out of the team. And Eto has put in a shift for Mourinho, like we said before, at Inter, and will do these kind of things. And he's a fantastic link man. I mean,
he was pivotal in the second goal.
Yeah, and I mean, look at the way he played at Barcelona. He had all those players, goal scoring players
just
all around
operator,
him. He knows what to do, and he's fitted in quite well, actually. He's not the Eto of old, but he's a little bit older.
I don't think Chelsea are struggling for goals. I think, they're rumbling along at just under two goals a game. They've only scored one goal less than Arsenal in the Premier League this season. They're not.
It's just Mourinho just playing down all of their achievements
and the
press making them under
buying it. The press is buying it.
Yeah. Well, he's also he and Pellegrini sort of have got this running spat about finances, haven't they? Mourinho just said today did loads of maths in the press, came out with Chelsea having made a profit in the transfer window, left one of the signings they made out for some reason.
Yeah.
But
they did make a profit though.
Yeah. It's just it's really strange to see Mourinho being like this, but like this almost sort of like anti-arrogance, but it's working.
Well, it seems like a weird sort of part of Chelsea's history to pick on, because bearing in mind they were the first club to really spend massive amounts of money.
Yeah. But he's going after Pellegrini, isn't he? Mm. He's really trying to get under his skin, and Pellegrini looks like the type of man.
Shut your noise, you. we know the rest.
He looks like the type of guy who would need a lot to wind him up.
Well, I just think really in those situations. Coming into the business end of the season, you'd back Mourinho, because Mourinho's just won so much more than Pellegrini.
And Mourinho, we know, he's taken all the pressure off his players, and he's making it about him and the opposition's manager.
It's strange that there doesn't seem to be another manager in the world who can do that. It's such a unique talent.
Well, he is a remarkable man. I mean, the way he, Ibrahimovic said before Mourinho took over at Inter, he was playing in the European Championships, and Ibra came off the field. And Mourinho was texting him going, oh yeah, you played well there, and gave him a few little pointers and whatnot. And he was like, this guy's taken an interest in my nag. Why is he watching the Swedish national team?
Yeah, right.
And all this kind of stuff. And he makes players feel loved and wanted. He's hard-lined, but he does have a compassionate side. Mm. He never shouts, apparently, according to some people. I'm sure he has done, but very rarely does he shout.
He pushes staff into swimming pools and hotels.
Yeah, well, a couple of seasons ago. We all would.
Pokes people in the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, but no shouting, though, Jim.
No.
he might whisper in the ear as he's doing
it. Can take comfort from that.
He poked me in the eye.
I'm going to poke you in the eye. I'm going to poke you in the eye.
Yeah, I didn't shout at you, though.
And another I didn't abuse your ears.
Yeah, that's right. Another, yeah, not all your senses.
You have to ask yourself why Villanova placed his eye so callously on my thumb.
But another thing,
this is not normal.
Another thing Ibrahimovic said he would do, which I really quite like this technique, he'd show a video of the Inter players playing really badly, and he would be like, "Who are these guys? These aren't you. These are people pretending to be you and all this kind of stuff."
Some
this
player's gone, "I think one of them might be me." No, it's not. I'm confused.
But he was like, "Get out there."
The problem is, if he said that to a bunch of English players, they'd probably believe him. Oh, this is frightening.
The weird thing is, I remember this happening. Apparently, it wasn't even me.
Am I in control of my own brain or what, Jose?
The listeners take the points I'm making. Yeah. But Chelsea, top of the league and on the march. Norwich 0, Manchester City 0. Joseph Yobo, straight in there.
Joe Yobo.
I thought Saber Basson was excellent.
Yeah, as well.
Very good.
Yeah, Norwich could have bloody won it.
Yeah, they were.
Few chances at the end. Indeed, they did. I mean, Manchester City. This is it's potentially dangerous for them now because having been beaten at home by Chelsea, that they looked quite indestructible, didn't they? That they were just going to bulldoze teams over and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly they lose at home without scoring a goal.
It's why people make such a big point about their away record.
Yeah,
that's not good enough for a title-winning side.
Yeah,
it's why I said that 6 points isn't anything at this stage of the season because Man City have dropped. You know, 3 points in 2 games. You know, so it's
one more.
4 points, sorry, in two. Hey, what am I talking about? 5 points.
Yeah,
in 2 games.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So going up. Drop points.
Yeah, not points.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're still in the Champions League. They've got Barcelona, which will obviously be very difficult. They've got Manchester United, Arsenal, and Liverpool to play away, among others. Of course, I've just picked out a few there.
Also got a strange situation with their injuries, where they're playing Yaya Touré and Alvaro Negredo when they're not actually fully fit, to the point where Touré's basically just, you know, became like a holding player with no marauding. I mean, if you're that injured that you take part of your game out, like surely what, play someone else.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know if Dzeko's unfit, but it seems odd to start an injured Negredo over him.
I didn't really know Negredo wasn't fully fit.
Milner started as well.
Yeah, Milner's had a shoulder problem. Oh, Negredo since the West Ham game.
I had no clue. Didn't know.
Yeah. Well,
Dzeko came on, didn't really do anything, didn't he? Anyway, so.
Yeah, can City stop the rot? Well, Fulham did, didn't they?
Do the Fulham players know they didn't win the game? The way they've been speaking about it afterwards, it's like they think they did.
It wins them, though.
Yeah, but did anyone tell Darren Bent that it wasn't a consolation? The way he celebrated, he was like, "Yeah, phew, God, right back to the halfway line." Yeah,
well, isn't that bothered?
Yeah, Fulham got a point at Old Trafford, 2-2, incredible. Sidwell put them 1-0 up from a nice pass by Holtby, and then Manchester United just battered them.
Wayne Rooney for that goal. I mean, there were lots of different reasons why that was a poor goal from Man United's point of view. I mean, Everett was way over the opposite flank and should have tucked in. There's no way the ball. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but if the guy's got the ball on that side of the pitch, he's not going to fling it 60 yards to feet, miles over the other side. It just won't happen. So everyone here to tuck in. And if he had tucked in, he could have covered it. But Wayne Rooney tracked Sidwell for like 40 yards. As soon as he got about 25 yards out, stopped and just pointed at him. As in, like, come on.
I'm at my zone, which is most of the pitch.
But it was almost like he was doing that to such an extent to make a point.
Yeah.
Like he was saying, like, no, you should be doing it, and you're not.
Yeah.
And the
fact
that obviously the centre-back was so far apart that he just couldn't get near it.
Maybe they'd need it. they need a bit of instruction.
Yeah, but, well, Rooney seems to be having the run of the club anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be worried about that if I was a United fan. But it was, for me, and I don't want to be too reactionary about it, because obviously I play a lot of games, but it's got to be the most bizarre Man United performance I think I've ever seen.
It was more just when you saw Moyes when Manchester United scored their goal, like really fist pumping. Yeah. I'm like, look, you've seen this time and time again, David, all the season. You've dropped points at home.
Yeah.
You've dropped points away.
Yeah.
It might not finish to your pleasing.
Well, it really should have done. I mean, I was watching the match, and obviously Fulham were getting battered, and you thought, even with their poor season match started, they will score here. Mm. They will get at least a draw, which, of course, was right. But Van Persie scores, and it was always going to be a quick 1-2 kind of thing, and then Carrick scores. And the stadium, it was such a sigh of relief. Yeah. They all breathed. And it was kind of like, yeah, see the game out. And actually, when the injury time was being played, I was talking to my mate, and it was, you forgot the game was still on. Mm. You kind of look over and think, oh, they're doing a warm down or something.
Day. Mm.
And then suddenly, Fulham equalise, and it's even worse than drawing the game 1-1. Had Van Persie scored, and then they couldn't have got the winner.
Yeah, it's demoralising. You get the impression if it had gone on for another 5 minutes, they'd have lost. Do you know what I mean? Just their heads went at that point. And there seems to be a kind of nervousness about United's forward play. A real kind of uneasiness. And you can hear it in the stadium. And obviously I know this feeling all too well from, supporting Arsenal. Like the home fans just being frustrated and a bit nervy. And, they've been brilliant for ages, but that's starting to creep in now. Mm. And you can see it's affecting the team.
But I genuinely think when they're going forward, they're just a little bit nervous about I'm just one of us loses the ball. Because, then I've got to track back and run back because nobody has that much confidence in the spine that, David Moyes has at his disposal.
I think a few reasons why I think it was just a bizarre performance. From what I saw, is that this stat about them making 81 crosses in the same game, which is just crazy. I mean, the reason I thought that was so weird is because they were so clearly doggedly sticking to one particular plan, right? Which at the top level,
Moyes denied after the game.
Which is
weirdly.
Obvious. It's obvious. And the thing is, at the top level, that's not good enough. You can't. It doesn't matter how good you are at that. Even Barcelona, who were that good at doing that particular type of play, that was at least a bit of a varied way of playing in a particular way. Mm. So it's one-dimensional anyway, and teams will know how to defend against it, and they'll work it out quite quickly. And I think Fulham actually knew they were going to do that before the game, by the way they set up and the team he picked. Secondly, Fulham's two centre-backs were Johnny Heitinger, who's a really experienced Premier League operator. I don't particularly rate him, but he knows the bread-and-butter stuff about Premier League defending. Mm-hmm. And Dan Byrne, who's 6'100", who will just eat those crosses up all day.
He said after the game he'd never headed so many balls since the conference.
That's a dig.
But 81 crosses. Yeah, if you score 10 goals, fine.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's got, they crossed so many times.
But you're a
You're
a 6'7" centre-back. What do you love? You love that. You take that all day. Yep. But what you don't want is Juan Mata on the ball, playing through balls in behind him. And that brings me on to my third point about why it was bizarre, is because the top marquee signing in the transfer window they've signed is Juan Mata, and that is the antithesis of how he likes to play. So you're not using him either.
It's like the whole league. It's playing some horrible joke on Juan Mata, isn't it?
Yeah, bless him.
It's like they're trying to conspire against him to never even touch the ball.
Can David Moyes see Ferguson up front or something, Duncan Ferguson? Yeah, he just sees this kind of like weird kind of like mirage.
Oh, sees Ferguson behind you.
Sorry, got big Dunk up front, have we?
Like where West Ham play for Andy Carroll when Andy Carroll's not even in the team. David Moyes is playing like...
Where's the knockdown?
He's had a bang to the head and he thinks he's in 1995 Everton.
Yeah. That'd be funny. David, what are we doing? Oh, you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see in a minute.
Yeah. When big Dunk hits that robber.
He's not playing, what?
Just enjoy another game in the Carling Premiership.
They just Manchester United fans must just want the season to end. They're not getting anything out of it. Look.
He's directly singing, "Baby, I'm ready to go" before the game. He's just stuck in like the late 90s.
Well, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
It's just a little bit weird. Like, I know they've spent a bit of money on some really big marquee signs the last two or three seasons, but the way that Manchester United's owners operate in the financial markets and stuff, everything's done to the success that Manchester United have off the field more than on the field. Mm. You've got to be looking at the players they're supposed to be leaving at the end of the season, Vidic, Evra, Ferdinand. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of money to replace fairly important footballers.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, come on, guys.
And they ain't going to spend that money.
The good point now, I think you can agree, is that Big Mick was there.
Big Mick Hucknall.
Sat and stood next to Alex Ferguson, looking like two Hessian sacks full of beetroot.
Yeah. I saw a tweet from someone who said their mum just said, "Is that Alex Ferguson's wife?"
Hey! Wow.
I can't remember who tweeted it. Apology, I can't remember, but it was very funny.
Yeah. Sickening seasons up in the stands. Maybe that's what's putting off the team. I mean, it's the only thing I can think.
The spectre at the Faith.
Yeah, but I did say last week, Fulham fans, you know, it's you're away to Old Trafford, chance to get something, and they have. Another prediction correct.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Stick it along with the rest, mate.
That's it. yeah, I mean, Fulham, an incredible point, really. Muhlenstein said, a lot of people were classifying us as dead and buried. Probably still are. We have far too much quality and team spirit to be down there.
I think Muhlenstein bottled it a little bit. I don't want to be controversial and get on this back, because it was a good point for them.
Go for the second when it was 1-0.
No, I loved it when I saw the team he picked. I thought he's gone a little bit out of the ordinary.
He's really switched it up.
He bottled it at half time. He took Tankovic off and put Bent on. He should have kept Tankovic on.
Who scored the goal, though?
Yeah, I know, but Bent doesn't offer anything.
But who scored the goal?
Fair enough, but you understand
judge
my point.
Him on his...
They could have been about 4-0 up if they kept Tankovic on.
Mate, what he offered was an equaliser.
It's true, it's true. You know what I mean, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But he was proved right.
Scarsheet doesn't know what you mean, Luke.
Rennie, I'll have you next time. You might have won this battle, Rennie. But you've not won the war.
Someone knows how to pick his battles.
God, speaking of the night, he's talking about Rennie.
Whether it's against
war.
Luke Moore or Manchester United, well Muhlenstein will come out
Rennie.
On top.
Well played, Rennie.
There was a Wales derby. Away from Old Trafford.
Can I pick up something? You spelt in the running order, you spelt Gary Monk with one R.
Yeah.
And he is the lesser spotted two R's, Gary Monk. So have a bit of respect for
all
him.
All right. Yeah. Fair's fair.
I bet you spell Marks with a C with a K. Like Mark Borland.
Marcus Babbel.
You'll never know. You'll never know. Unless he gets in the running order.
Do you think because Gary Monk's a player manager, there's two R's in player and manager?
Yeah, he'd have been playing.
Probably should be.
He'd have been praying for that result, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He's a monk.
Yeah. Okay. Marvin Emnes on his return.
Yeah, that was a blast from the past.
Wasn't it just?
Yeah, wearing number 455 or something on his back.
Were they singing the Proclaimers? Marvin Emnes, Marvin Emnes.
Oh, that'd have been brilliant, were they?
Yeah, I think the Middlesbrough fans might have sung that. A friend of mine's a Middlesbrough fan, and he was, just to completely go off piste here, he was in the crowd, I can't remember where they were playing, and Bartek Becce came along. Now, this is a very niche chant.
Yeah.
To the outro of Panic by the Smiths, Hang the DJ.
Yeah.
Bartek Becce, Bartek Becce.
Yeah, I quite like that. Anything that's not Sloop John B.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, back to Swansea versus Cardiff City. Swansea, of course, won 3-0. Emnes was in there. Gary Monk in charge of the Swans. And didn't Routledge take the opening goal well?
He did, and I'm pretty sure it must be the first header of Nathan Dyer's career.
Yeah, he nipped in, didn't
yeah.
he? In between the two defenders.
He sort of burgled that goal, didn't he?
Yeah,
Bonnie
likes a big header.
He does, yeah.
3-0, though. Craig Bellamy could be in trouble after an off-the-ball collision.
I tried to look at that. I didn't see it. What happened?
There was a little...
It was so violent, the internet just can't handle it.
Yaya Toure got a little bit of stick, didn't he?
Here's another thing Mourinho's been making a dig about. If he's not punished, then it means we can all just go around doing what we like. So if he's not punished, I'll celebrate it, because it just means I can do whatever I want.
Oh, my gosh.
He wins every time.
This week.
He wins the Kevin Keegan Award.
Gary Monk talked about doing things the Swansea way. I mean, they looked far better, didn't they? I know Cardiff haven't had a great time of it, but neither have Swansea. New manager in, and they really looked at the race.
Monk will be gone like 2 minutes after we finish recording.
Like last week.
Yeah. Oh, that was annoying.
The thing is, people talk about the sort of fabled new manager bounce where the players want to impress the new manager and stuff, but I think sometimes it does help just go right back to basics. And you know, this is what we do well. Mm. Let's just stick with it. Because he brought back Leon Britton, didn't he? Stuff like that. Yeah, well, classic example is Sherwood and Spurs. But Swansea brought back Leon Britton, who just recycles the ball quite nicely. I thought he did quite well. And it was a very big win for them. I mean, Nathan Dyer scores a header against you, Cardiff. It's not your day.
That's right. Swansea are up to 10th.
Yeah, not going much higher, though, are they?
No, they're not going much higher. They're 4 points off the relegation zone. 10th. Yeah. Any
it's
of the
so
bottom
tight,
10 teams.
They're like ninth of ninth.
Yeah, Southampton are in ninth. They're safe.
But they're 9 points ahead of Swansea, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is quite remarkable. And obviously, we've got a good title run in, currently. It could change in the coming months. But the relegation run in, I mean, any of the bottom 10 could quite feasibly go down. So exciting times.
I think it will only be 3 of them by the end of it. That's the one thing I'm certain.
Imagine if it was actually 10.
You're all rubbish. Yeah. Change the rules.
Not good enough.
You wouldn't be able to plan for any sort of you know, expansion in your stadium. We could be in the second division.
Or drop down a few divisions if you're that bad. Is it like in the teams, if they're going really well, get promoted like a few times? You know, like in Sunday League football, if you're a new team, you start off in like the seventh division, yeah, and you win every game 7-0, and they go, oh, these are good. We'll put them to the fourth division or something.
Yeah, right. Well, I can remember playing in leagues where you would have a sort of almost like an audition game. And against the team, and how you did against them would be where you play. But sometimes, because it would be in the summer, some of your players would be on holiday, yep, or they'd be, you know, they would fit or whatever, and so you'd be really bad, and you get put in like Division 8, and you just absolutely rinse it every week. To the point it's completely pointless.
Yeah, something for the FL72 to look into.
Think about it.
In the Claret and Blue derby, Aston Villa were beaten 2-0 by West Ham. Kevin Nolan with an excellent double, West Ham have the most clean sheets in the Premier League this season.
That's an amazing stat, isn't it?
That is gobsmacking.
You certainly sound gobsmacking.
Isn't it?
Lip smacking if you're a defender.
Yeah. Oh, like Mike smacking. Yeah, see what I did there? Arsenal and Chelsea have 11, Spurs have 10. What else have you got to say?
I don't score many goals, so
no, they don't. Just as well. And then before we finish our Premier League roundup, Jermaine Defoe, 5-minute cameo during Spurs 1-0 win at home to Everton, because he's off to Toronto FC, of course. Apparently, season ticket sales for Toronto FC went up from 15% to 92% after Defoe signed for them.
He's going to be gutted when he finds out he has got to play the whole game.
Yeah, you're not an impact sub, Jermaine.
Yeah.
We need you.
You need you from the start. He won't know what to do at kickoff.
What do we do?
Pretend it's the second half.
I suppose he's played from the start in the Europa League a few times, but no one wants to remember that.
Toronto FC have signed Michael Bradley.
Yeah.
From Rome, that's a real good sign. He's only about 25, 26.
Yeah, it's a great sign for him because he's arguably in the prime of his career. Yeah. So.
On the up.
I think that was a really strange match because I thought Everton kind of out. I thought tactically they were a lot cleverer than Spurs.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But Spurs managed to get, they got like Naismith and Osman linking up really, really well. But on Spurs' side, like, they pushed Dembélé up really high. It was like, I know you need to support Adebayor, but that's not his game. Certainly not in the form he's in at the moment.
Well, he was like that at Fulham a bit, but he hasn't been playing that for
like
a while.
But it was like Dembélé, Lennon. What?
You mean on the wing?
Well, you're expecting goals from those people. You know, because I just don't understand why they pushed Dembélé up so far.
It's all about attacking.
But it's just it's just weird.
Yeah.
But you're talking about Osman. They had those three chances, like bang, 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 didn't they? And one was a really good save from Lloris, and the other two were right at the keeper. And you sort of thought, I like the way they're playing. They look good. But have they got any cutting edge today? And they didn't seem to.
It was just a tale of two quite similarly matched teams. But I thought Everton should have come out on top, but they just didn't have anyone to put the ball in the net like Spurs did.
At half time, I'd have had Traore on there.
Yeah,
because you need you're going to play like that. And Naismith,
is he the big man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Naismith plays at the focal point of that attack, he's not really a striker, but he can bring players in pretty well. But that was working fine. But then, Traore can do that, and he can also score.
Yeah.
So why not put him on? But he sort of resisted it for some reason, and obviously Spurs robbed him a bit. But I agree with Pete. I think Everton got it tactically spot on. They're just unlucky.
Did you see that Stephen Naismith did a step over that resulted in him just getting putting the ball out for a throw?
Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah, I like that. Right, to the Championship. Leeds United, they won a game, and McDermott was in charge. It was a good day for him.
The Oval Stadium's just magnificent, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It just feels like the early rounds of the FA Cup.
Huish Park.
It's good name as well. It's windy.
It is very windy. It gets
that Stephen Warlock goal. He didn't know what to do. He just didn't know what to do.
Well, I just thought it was nice that...
goal.
It was just nice to see Stephen Warnock. I'd forgotten all about
him. He took the free kick, and he took it, and his face, it was almost like... Because I saw a vine of it from behind him. Mm. And when he first took it, his immediate emotion was like, oh, that's going out of play. And then it was like, oh, that might go on someone's head. Oh, it's going in.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it.
Yeah. His cursor went in the centre of the net, didn't it? It was really quick. It's like, what is happening here? Yeah.
That wasn't my favourite moment from that game. Ishmael Miller, he scored, but then he missed a penalty. Mm. And now, if you watch it on the Football League Show, that's where I saw it, as I'm sure most people did, the Leeds faithful behind the goal were magnificent. Yeah. Before he took the penalty, as he was running up, they were bouncing. It's like they thought, he's going to sky this.
You just know sometimes, don't you?
Weren't they?
Always missing
the Leeds fans were actually bouncing, trying to put him off, all as one. And when he hit the ball over the bar, it was like Leeds had scored. Ah!
That's what football's all about.
The bounces just got bigger. Yeah. It was magnificent scenes.
It's like, it's just like those moments where you just sort of think, it's almost better than a goal.
Yeah.
It's just so exciting. Jim, I remember, like, I do like a radio show every single evening, Monday to Thursday, on Absolute Radio.
Uh-huh.
And apparently when I announced that Kabai was leaving Newcastle, in the Nissan factory in the northeast of England, all of Mackham celebrated, like ran around like it was a goal. Which then makes you think, oh, God, people can hear me. Oh, God.
Jim, was Ruud van Nistelrooy's penalty that hit the crossbar when it was
That was incredible.
Better than
Martin
goal?
Keown became a vampire. Oh, absolutely better than a goal.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
God.
When that, when the ICB4 show about Keenan Vieira, and they talked about that, Keane was still like visibly fuming about that. How many years ago was that?
But there are so many things that Roy Keane is still visibly
what
fuming
about. What
year was
that?
It was 02 or 03.
Yeah, Keane was acting like it had just happened.
It was between 02 and 04.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, he was genuinely acting like it had just happened.
Wet
like, he was talking about you couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he did indeed. But Leeds, a good win for them. Ross McCormack scored a beauty. But apparently Chelino's got his 75% stake of the club. Also, I saw a statistic which seemed from a credible source. He sacked 36 managers in 21 years.
I mean, he said he's got a 75% stake. It's probably 100, but he's just turned the tax man at 75%.
That's not true.
It's such a shame because...
Convicted fraudster, Pete.
Yeah, but
twice, Pete.
But it's not like he's dead. You can still libel him.
I can, and I have. He doesn't seem like a litigious type.
He doesn't like courtrooms if he can stand it.
No, exactly.
If he can get out of it. 36 managers. How many crosses has he done in that time?
I don't know. Less than 81.
Massimo Cellino, if you sue me, I will just shout the number 17 over and over again in the courtroom. You don't want to take me on. You do not want to take me on.
Oh, dear. What about Leicester? They were 2-0 down at home to Watford. But they came back and drew 2-1. Watford's first goal was an unbelievable
Watford
reaction.
Watford started like a chip pan fire.
They started like Liverpool.
Yeah, they did. It was relentless.
What a goal, though, from Forestieri. Deeney shot, and he just sort of went, oh, there you go.
He knew he was going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very... it was four goals of really, really high quality.
They were.
But the Drinkwater equaliser, to control that half volley in that way was so good. Last minute of the game as
One of the goals of the season.
Drinkwater it in.
You know, because you know it does matter that it's right near the end of the game because he's going to be tired. You know, the heavy legs, the technique tends to go a little bit more. It's such a well controlled half volley. Unless he came off the bench, in which case, well done. I can't actually remember.
And Birmingham beat Charlton away 2-0. Makeda with a double.
Yeah,
sign him for crying out loud! Sign him.
Yeah,
can he be any worse?
Can he be any better?
Can he be any worse than what they've got at a parent club at the moment?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Penny drop.
That would be interesting. Yeah, there it is. Boom. Right, let's go to the league. Bloody hell. Atletico Madrid, they lost 2-0.
It's the most Atletico Madrid thing they could have done.
They're third. Albeit on goal.
You had your 1 week.
Imagine Simeone just going off the game. Right, season's over then. Thanks a lot, guys.
So we've won the league. What do you mean, what?
See you on the beach.
We've got 3 months more.
They played Tig with the league first spot. Tig got you. You're it.
Yeah.
Chase me down the bottom.
And the Real Madrid.
They had a man sent off, didn't they?
Did have a man sent off. Atletico Madrid did, Real Madrid won 4-2, and Gareth Bale scored. The referee who sent Ronaldo off last week has been suspended for a month and won't officiate any of Madrid's matches for the rest of the season because he changed his story of the sending off.
The sending off was fine, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, he changed it, though. He said it was for the slap of the face one moment, and then it was for something else. And they were like, we're not having that. Clearly, Real Madrid have swung there.
Just on the Atletico thing... Yeah. Can I just say that on this show last week, I think it was, maybe the week before, we said they've signed Diego and the wheels will come off. All I'm saying is...
That's a Luke Moore prediction.
Diego started that game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
They were doing fine until they got him. Barcelona are back on top, though.
Did you see Messi's first goal?
Lovely.
My God.
He's starting to play in a bit of a funny way for me, Messi, at the moment. He's going so deep to pick up the ball. It's almost like he's trying to do it all himself, which is...
I'll tell you what, though, Barcelona...
didn't do a bad job of it.
Oh, if you are going to pick a player in the world to do it all himself, it would be him. But I'm just saying, it's not necessarily...
Rooney had a go. He couldn't manage it.
No, exactly.
He did have a go. That result really flattered Barcelona. Sevilla missed chances, good chances, all throughout that game. I mean, they probably shouldn't have lost.
Yeah. But Alexis is really, really coming to his own.
Yeah.
It took him a while to actually have much of an impact at Barcelona. You know, he coming from a bit of, for a bit of criticism from some of their fans.
He got some crucial quarters, goals last
he's scoring
season.
A lot and assisting a lot. He's just all
hard
over the
to
place
make that
now.
Move, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Fabregas
yeah.
haven't doing well as well.
Mm. He scored a nice little dink.
Mm. He did.
On for the award.
Yeah.
The Marcus Speller dink award.
I mean, he's surely the only candidate at the moment, given when it began.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, unless yeah. there's.
Well, it literally only began half an hour ago, so exactly, if anything, yeah. that doesn't count.
Yeah, true.
It's from this from now onwards.
Get your dinks in, football.
What would you have gone for the MSD? Would it be a shield? Would it be a cup? Would it be a. A little statue of a player doing a dink, maybe?
I don't know. It wouldn't be a shield.
No.
Could okay. be the wrestler, the mini wrestler Dink.
Dink. Dink the clown.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's just like, he's a wrestler who was also a dwarf.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, why not? Do we have that? Because it won't happen, so.
Yeah. That attitude, it won't.
That clown riding.
You score the best dink of the season, you win a dwarf. I'm fairly certain that will not happen.
Surely statue.
Surely yeah. all statues are small people.
So yeah, not in Eastern Europe.
You
Peter.
Couldn't tell it was a dwarf if it was a statue form, would you?
Yeah, some mighty statue.
I'm not looking to be derogatory towards dwarfs, so I'm not going to comment on that.
No.
I think all I was saying was you could have a trophy that looked like Dink the Clown if you
right.
To.
Okay.
I was thinking outside the box, guys.
Yeah,
dinking outside the box.
Yeah,
which is hard.
Yeah. Well, it depends where the keeper is.
Let's drink water. I'm going to dink water.
Dink water.
Why not? I'd like you to get back in the box, Luke, if it's okay. if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm back in.
Right, Portuguese league.
Can I think it would be
before
very
we go to Portugal, Luke's going to say something.
No, I want you to read this bit about the Portuguese exactly you've written it, because it's very funny.
Okay. Portuguese league, Benfica versus Sporting was cancelled because of strong winds that damaged the stadium. Bits of the roof and glass wall were blown off and falling onto the pitch. The fans had to be evacuated. The stadium will host the Champions League final.
Stop. Cut it there. Nothing more needs to be said. That is football, modern football, in one paragraph.
I did enjoy. Well, if you build a stadium at some point, it will fall a bit and glass wall will come out of it.
Still giving him the Champions League final.
Yeah, not before.
Yeah.
Not before you stay.
Well, I assume it's fine.
Yeah.
I've been to that stadium. It was lovely.
What I do.
I don't know what happened to the Eagle that day. It must have been.
Yeah. Hiding.
Yeah.
Chalking the draining glass wall, probably.
Yeah, it's on its way across Europe.
I just like the amount of glass wall that was all over the pitch, and you had like the young lads trying to pick bits of it up. You got it. Sharp. You're gonna hurt your fingers there.
Well, yeah.
And B, there's too much of it. Don't even try and do it. You need a machine to do it.
Is it like the stuff you get in the loft for insulation?
Yeah, it's stuff, a bit like it's like fiberglassy sort of stuff.
I would just open one of the doors in the stadium and it will just blow through.
Yeah.
That's what I'd have done.
The doors. One of them big doors
they
have.
Those big stadium doors.
big patio stadium doors that they have.
That they definitely use in Portugal. Right.
Well, you've been there.
I have been there. Trust it, and if you haven't seen the doors, then you're missing out. Serie A, Adel Taarabt.
Wow.
He bloody scored after 8 minutes.
Big move. He's got it.
It's a stepping stone move, remember? He said he would go there.
I mean, it's the strangest thing. He's got to be very careful because, okay, fair enough, he scored. But on another day, he should have passed that ball. And then when he celebrated, he ran off and they all went to congratulate him. And he was like, no, leave me alone, leave me alone. I went over and hugged Seedorf and I thought, Taarabt, you can do that at QPR.
You've just got your pal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that Milan aren't having the greatest of times, but they are bloody AC Milan.
Did he take off his shirt and try and give it to Colin? Where's Colin?
Yeah, exactly.
Where is he?
Incidentally, though, the rest of Serie A have signed Robbie Savage. Yeah. So he'll have him in his pocket next time they play.
They got beat anyway.
They did get beat 3-1. Yeah. Milan are moving stadium. Do you hear this?
No, I didn't know.
A few years' time, this. It was announced today. Apparently so, that they're leaving the San Siro.
Inter going with them or not, though?
No, Inter are staying.
Okay,
that would be silly.
That's very weird.
No, because it's not. I think they want their own home.
Okay,
they finally thought, now we're big enough.
There's not enough glass wall. There's not enough glass wall in the stadium.
We've got Taarabt now.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
he needs his own. He's not sharing with anybody.
Maybe
that's what it is. Taarabt, that's in his contract. I am not sharing anything with everybody.
Maybe Milan can make their stadium out of bits of other stadium that have fallen off
from Benfica
and wherever else.
That's true.
I'm sure they'll welcome donations.
Cotton wool, maybe. That'll blow down in an instant. Verona 2, Juventus 2, just in case anybody's interested. Verona up in fifth. They're having a good season. I didn't realise that.
Luca Toni, 36-year-old Luca Toni.
He scored
score
a goal. Guess what part of the body he scored it with?
With Luca Toni's head.
Correct.
Massive nose.
Yeah, no, it was the head.
Yeah. I like Luca Toni. I think he's a good player. He's been a good servant to Italian football. I'm pleased to see him
world
score
football.
Yeah, indeed.
World football. Roma failed to capitalise on Juventus' draw. They drew in the Rome derby 0-0.
Do the Bologna story.
That'd be great.
Well, there's a funny little story from Bologna. They suspended four members of their technical staff because nobody went to the airport to pick up their new Brazilian signing. Ibsen.
Technical staff. What, cab driver? Driver? Four of them?
Yeah.
What, I don't understand that.
It's not the worst story that came out of Italy recently. The Coppa Sicilia, the Sicilian cup, of course, which is a local trophy in Italy. Borgata, Bagheria, and Partini Caldecce. All three teams play in the eighth tier of Italian football and were put together in the same group for the Sicilian Cup. Some of you may have read this. It's not quite police machine-esque, but we're not far off it.
We'll take what we can.
Bagheri were 4-3 down against Borgata, and they needed to avoid defeat to qualify for the next round of the Cup. And seemingly Borgata scored two goals in quick succession, which demoralised their opponents. Now, there was only 10 minutes left to play. However, instead of going for the equaliser, what's the name of the side? Bagheria, they scored 8 own goals in the last 10 minutes. And Borgata ran out 14-3 winners and went through ahead of Partini Caldecce on goal difference. And apparently the captain of Bagheria said, "Oh, we'd rather you lot go through than them."
Wow.
You're not even denying it.
Well,
how can you deny it?
I don't think he said that in the press. He may have said it in someone's...
It somehow made its way to you. So well, it got to the press somehow.
Yeah.
Were you there?
Call me what you like, but I'm not the paparazzi. The Italian Federation are going to investigate.
Well, it won't take long.
Yeah.
Will it? Yeah, you definitely did it.
8 own goals in 10 minutes. We're going to finish the main part of the show in Germany. Bayern won again. They're 13 points clear of Leverkusen in second place.
It's ridiculous this season. They've conceded like 6 goals or something.
They haven't got any rivals when it comes to football. But when it comes to sexiness, they appear to have. City rivals Bayern Munich and Munich 1860 have been arguing over who's
1860.
Yes. They've been arguing over who's the sexiest club. Marcus, great name, Rejek, 1860's new chief executive, recently said the club has more sex appeal than Bayern. Apparently the club's tradition makes it more unique than Bayern and therefore sexier, according to Rejek. Bayern declined to comment. Okay.
Everyone should have declined to comment.
Bayern declined to comment because their chief executive did comment.
But their PR man, their press officer was just like, yeah, brilliant, whatever. Look at the trophy cabinets, boys. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? As if. But Karl-Heinz Rummenigge couldn't help himself. he retorted saying, well, more girls and more women come to watch Bayern games than they do watch 1860 games.
How does he know that?
That should prove that we are the sexier club.
And that's the real quiz.
Wow. To be fair, it's probably the same. It'll be the same database, the same kind of spreadsheet that has both figures on, I suppose.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
University of life, me. Yeah. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. Yeah. I think he's just going on the fact that more people watch Bayern, therefore.
I guess so.
Why get involved? Incidentally, though, Franz Beckenbauer went, well, no women go and watch Munich 1860. I haven't seen any there, and I should know.
Well, you'll be at the Bayern games. Because you're the chief executive.
More going on the sort of slave thing in Qatar. So there we are. That was Germany in a nutshell. Yeah. Time for Pete's game. Time for Pete's game, I think.
It is time for Pete's game. Thank you very much to the fabulous Steve, a.k.a. Nugent is the difference. For this particular
like nice to hear a listener towing the party line.
No name, but here we go.
No name?
No name, shut up. And that's not, you know, introduction for... Marcus even sent me some 1 week. Not having it. Not having
He'd
it.
Rather he, not have a name than you name
He's staging a weird silent protest.
Yeah. Right, clue number one. Born the 1st November 1968.
Deal or no Sean Teal. There you go.
There we go. We got it. We got it.
Good.
Time is against us, people.
Okay, go on. So that clue again?
Born 1st of November 1968.
Okay.
Played 18 times for Scotland, scoring once.
Stop. Is it... No, that's preposterous. I'm not even going to say that.
Please. Not stop you before.
No.
Okay.
No, no.
Is it Paolo Maldini?
I was going to say, is it Nigel Quasi? No, it's nowhere near, he's that old.
I'm currently the manager of Army United in Thailand.
Stop. Gordon Dury.
No.
That's a good guess.
He probably played for Scotland more than
I think. Yeah. I think that's Dury's debut on this show.
He would have scored more goals as well.
A team once paid £1.6 million to sign me from Oxford United.
Oh, stop. Dale Gordon.
No.
Oh, no, he was English, wasn't he?
Dale Gordon.
God, yeah.
Blimey.
He scored the winner at the first football match I ever went to.
Did he?
I scored 2 goals in a League Cup final.
Wow.
I played 245 times for Leicester City.
Oh, blimey.
Stop. Is it Matt Elliott?
Matt Elliott.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
I thought that after the League Cup scene, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, well done,
Matthew
well done.
News. Well done. And thank you, Steve. From?
Steve, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. You're the best.
Well done, Steve. Yeah. Any correspondence?
We have got some correspondence in the form of the now traditional and much celebrated question of the week. This week, after Jose Mourinho likened Manchester City to a jaguar with L plates, do any clubs remind you of a particular animal?
We didn't even get to that one with Jose's mind game.
No, exactly.
But we've got to it now, haven't we? Mm. He's had a busy week, hasn't he?
Really has.
Has he started a blog?
Like Darius Vassell. What was I going to say? Yeah, so here we go. So, yeah, after Jose Mourinho likened Man City to a jaguar with L plates, do any clubs remind you of a particular animal? Pompey are a horse and cart. With one wheel falling off and a drunk riding it. That's a dig at Luke.
I think
Charlie Timms. It's probably fair.
Pony and trap would describe it
there
better.
There you go, yeah.
Any Cockney rhyming slangs out
absolute
there.
Absolute pony. Conceded in the last minute equaliser away at Exeter at the weekend.
It did.
So, yeah, business as usual.
Good point.
John Bell says, oh, that was from Charlie Timms, sorry. John Bell says, I'd say United are like Old Yeller, a dog everyone loved but now just needs to be put out of its misery. I'm sure United fans would agree with that. Andy Palmer with a big contribution.
Yeah.
A big contribution on the Twitter, Andy Palmer. Hull remind me of something. Can't quite put my finger on it. Thanks, Andy. That's literally what it says. Good. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. You've given him a platform.
James Powell said, James Powell sort of says that Swindon lot are like a bunch of little slugs.
if you don't watch The Office or even Alan Partridge,
you're probably still not listening to
them. You don't get a lot of this show,
Jamie. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie to you, Man United fans, you've got a lot of pelters so far this week. You're going to get some more because everyone's talking about United. In a way, think of it as showing you, you know, what a big club United are. Manchester United remind me of an old, once majestic Great Dane who can't stop shitting the carpet. That's from Jamie.
I would argue they're more like, is it Daddy Longlegs, where if a Daddy Longlegs had the wherewithal or the actual talents to fire out its
oh, that has no teeth
poison.
Right,
it's a really dangerous animal, but it doesn't have any sort of way of delivering poison.
It's so unfair, isn't it?
That sounds like one of those things that might actually be a myth, but who knows.
Lars Eric says, Sherwood's Tottenham are a duck-billed platypus because, contrary to all logic and appearance, they actually work pretty well.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good.
I love that.
Brad Wood on Twitter, on sticking to the Man United theme. It's actually, in fact, sticking to the Man United dog theme for the third time. Mm. Man United are a Rottweiler. With the right owner, they can be intimidating and dangerous. Wrong owner, and they're completely harmless. And we'll finish off with Luke on the Twitter, who says, Stoke are like rhinos. Big, clumsy, and constantly breaking people, yet still doing okay. Are rhinos doing okay?
No, they're not. The black rhino went extinct recently.
Yeah, I don't think they are. That's why I picked that one out.
Cut off their horns for soup.
Yeah, indeed.
Interestingly enough, rhinos' horns are made of hair.
Mm. Well, that's any horn, isn't it? It's keratin, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's why I don't understand the allure of rhino horns. And to be honest, quite frankly, I find your shoes that you've made out of them, Marcus, quite offensive.
Gross.
Sorry.
Worse than what you did to that Danish giraffe.
That said, he is very virile now.
Yeah, no, but have you seen me dance in them? That is the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank goodness. If you want to get in touch for whatever reason, then the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the Twitter is @footballramble. Pete, Absolute Radio.
There's no Rock and Roll Football Barclays Premier League commentary match on Absolute Radio this weekend because there's no Barclays Premier League commentary matches to be commentated upon.
Yes.
But I am on Rock and Roll Football providing FA Cup goals for you.
Are you really?
Yep.
Get us on there.
And may I recommend listening to Taylor and Bestie's Rob Lee special, where they spend an hour and a half chatting to Rob Lee.
Oh, right.
The True Faith podcast. Very good.
Nice,
it's nice
fun.
To, you know.
Cool.
He doesn't seem to like many European footballers.
No. Okay.
Are you saying that he would vote UKIP? But
I probably. Think he would probably vote
that's
UKIP.
Annoying. That destroys my image of him, actually.
A little bit, yeah.
That is a shame. Luke.
I've got no other podcast to recommend.
No.
I think they're all rubbish. But yeah, I mean, I noticed a few people picked up on me saying that you should open an account with betfair.com/footballramble for your free up to £50 bet. You remember this time last week I said you should put the money on Liverpool because you'll make yourself a pretty penny. Mm. A lot of people picked me up on that before the game. No one's come out and congratulated me after. Such is the custom.
Yeah. Mm. So it seems to have killed the Nuge.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I've recommendation.
Me and Nuge have got a very tumultuous relationship. I mean, when he was at Pompey, he didn't really do an awful lot, did he? So it's very difficult.
Yeah, the original odd couple.
He'll bounce back. But yeah, go to betfair.com/footballramble and open up an account because you get up to £50 as a free match bet, which is a very good deal. Very good deal.
So lovely. Lovely old deal. Right, say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.